Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Encounter Life Church. I'm Pastor Dwayne McKinney. And once again, I'm excited to have you join us for our online worship experience here at Encounter Life Church. Will you do me a favor this morning, if this is your first time joining us online or in any other fashion, we'd like to connect with you. So if you've got a mobile device or a cell phone, a tablet, whatever you can use to send a text message, I want you to do this. I want you to send us a message to 301-804-2520. And this is what I want you to send us. Just send us the word new. Text the word new to 301-804-2520 so that we can connect with you and let you know how glad we are that you joined us, that you chose to join us today. And also, we can kind of keep you aware of some things that we have going on here at Encounter Life Church coming forward. So, again, thank you. Thank you for joining us. If this is not your first time, welcome back. We pray that your hearts have been blessed by the Word of God and what's going on here in Encounter Life. Just want to let you know a couple of things that are going on. One of the things that is ongoing is our Striving to Grow discipleship class. It started on the first Saturday of this month, and it's ending. As a matter of fact, there's only one more week left. If you've missed the previous weeks, listen, you can get the recording. But if you want to jump in, you can. You can get in where you fit in. But if you missed it, we want to let you know when that is happening again. So again, on the Saturday mornings Saturday afternoons at 1 this month, we've been doing our Striving to Grow spiritual discipleship class. It has been an awesome time with Brother Damon Prather. And also, starting in November, we have our Getting to Know Encounter Life class. It's our membership class. If you say, look, you may not even want to be a member. You just want to know a little bit more about what this church is about, what we're about. Want to know what the Bible is about, you know, what a relationship with Christ is about. That's a great place to get in our spiritual growth class. Well, we call it our Get to Know class. So you can join us. That will be also on Saturday afternoons in the month of November. So if you want to get a part of on that, you can go right to our website, encounterchurch.net/gym. That's G-Y-M, like going to the gym. And we call it the gym because, you know, God calls us to train ourselves for godliness. And G-Y-M says, get you moving. We want to get you moving in your relationship with God. So our growth track starts with get to know. It goes into a striving to grow. And then it goes to our reaching the show class. That shows you how to use your spiritual gift. God has given every last one of you a gift. And we want to show you until you can be equipped on knowing what your gift is and how to use your gift. And then finally, he wants to send us to go. And we want to give you some tools to go out and share your faith and how to build his kingdom, enlarge his kingdom. That's what God has placed us here for. So that's our growth track, and we're excited about that. Also, want to let you know something that's coming up next week, next Friday. I believe that's October the 23rd. It's going to be an awesome time. October 23rd? Yes. It's going to be an awesome time. Friday, October 23rd, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be having a bonfire worship night. Bonfire worship night. It's going to be off the chain, y'all. We're going to come out here. We're going to have some food out there, but we're going to have the fire pits out. If you want to make some s'mores, you can. But we're just going to have an unplugged acoustic time of worship. I'm excited that we're going to have some awesome worship leaders here with us that are going to come and lead us into a time of worship. So our bonfire worship night is going to be that Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Bring your blanket, bring your lawn chair, and let's just have a good time of worship out here on the grounds at Encounter Life. So you can spread out, socially distance, and just be in your little space and just go and have a wonderful time lifting up the name of Jesus together outside. And it'll be a great witness, a great opportunity to declare his glory in the community. So that's going to be here, 2200 Colbert Drive, Temple Hills, Maryland, 20748. For all of you who've been giving to the Ministry of Encounter Life during this uncertain time that we're in, the pandemic, we thank you. We want to just thank you all for your gifts and supporting what has been going on here at Encounter Life. Man, I'm telling you, 2020, like I said, has been a year that has been rough. And I'm excited. I'm excited because it's been rough. But you know what? I believe it's been rough because guess what? We're on the verge of a breakthrough. And what we are in the middle of a series we call Breakthrough Stories of Radical Change. And if everywhere you look in the Bible, anybody who came in contact with Jesus, man, they experienced radical change. That's why we call ourselves Encounter Life Church. We believe that if you encounter his presence, you'll discover your purpose and experience his power to bring change in your life. And we talked about some people who experienced radical change. In our first week, we talked about a woman that the Bible refers to as an immoral woman. She had some issues in her personal life. And so she came to Jesus, and Jesus allowed her to set her free so she could experience radical change. And then we talked about Peter. Last week, Peter was one of the disciples who was a follower of Jesus. And he failed. And he made a mistake. He dropped the ball. He said he would stand for Jesus, and he denied Jesus. And we talked to people last week to let them know that, you know what, your failure is not final. We want to let you know that when you've dropped the ball, whatever area of your life you may feel that you have failed or fallen short in, that you can still have a breakthrough. And so we looked at Peter last week, and we talked about how you can experience breakthrough. And we told you how important it is to not allow your failure to cause you to fall back to where you're comfortable, to what you're used to do. I mean, that's one of those tempting things. Man, I dropped it, so let me go back to where I'm comfortable, even though you know God's got a call on your life. And so he's got something great for you. So today we're continuing. We're continuing in our series on breakthrough stories of radical change, stories from the Gospels. And today we're going to be in the Bible in the book of Mark. But once again, the book of Mark, chapter 9. And we're going to talk about another story of radical change and breakthrough. But before we do that, can you pray with me? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I'm thankful today that you are Lord of the breakthrough. Lord God, and we come to you today and ask, Lord God, that you would just reveal your glory to us. We all, Lord, here, wherever we are, we desire to encounter your presence so that we can truly experience breakthrough and radical change. And I pray, God, number one, the number one breakthrough that we have to have, Lord, is to break through that barrier that is between you and I that is called sin. And I pray that today that someone experienced a breakthrough in their life, in their relationship with you, and come to know you as Lord and Savior of their life, and that you will transform them, that they'll never be the same. Lord God, teach us today the importance of prayer when it comes to breakthrough. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I just said it as I prayed today we're going to be talking about breakthrough prayer. Breakthrough prayer. And we're going to look in the Bible, in the book of Mark chapter 9. And we've been talking about breakthrough the last couple of weeks. But one of the things that you got to know is that what we talked about in week number one, how this woman was willing to push into, she was desperate to rush into the presence of Christ. And I'm here to tell you, you'll never experience breakthrough without some breakthrough prayer. Prayer is a key to you experiencing a breakthrough in your life. And it ain't, you know, and a lot of us, we know we talk about prayer, but that's one of the areas in my life, my walk with God. Sometimes it's the hardest thing for me to master, because you know what? We're always rushing. But God said, look, I want a relationship with you. But I want to give you breakthrough, but you know what? You have not because you ask not. And today we're going to look about why prayer is so critical until you experience a breakthrough. Because all prayer is talking with God. But what prayer does, prayer is talking with God, but it's a way that I express my complete and total dependence on God. Prayer is me telling God that I rely on you and not myself. You know, prayer is so important for breakthrough. And there is power in prayer. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer, the fervent prayer, passionate prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's effective. And I just thought about a story that I've read. I've read it and heard it many years ago. It was a story of a missionary. And the story of the power of prayer. It was this missionary who was on furlough. For those of you who may not be familiar with that, he was home. He was home from his assignment on the mission field. And when he was on the mission field, he was assigned. He was in the continent of Africa. And while he was there, he would take trips back and forth, delivering supplies and so forth to the various villages. Well, on one of these trips, you know, he was traveling, and there was two young men that were having an altercation and fighting, and one of them must have gotten beaten up pretty bad. And what ended up happening is he tended to this young man's wounds, and he kind of helped bandage him up and helped tend to his wounds. And so he would proceed to go back and forth and doing what his assignments were and doing what he was doing on the mission field and taking supplies back and forth. And one day he ran into this young man that he had helped kind of nurse back to health. And this man told him, look, you know, I just want to confess something to you, because you had helped me and kind of helped nurture me back to health and bandage my wounds. But I want to confess something to you. You know, me and some of my friends knew that on your journeys that you kind of had some money with you that you would carry with you. And we actually had planned on robbing you. And we knew the route that you would take every time you took this route. And we knew it. And what our plan was, when you were on that route, that we were going to sit in ambush and we were going to jump and rob you. And you know what? And take you out. So we were laying in ambush and waiting for you to do that. But he said, look, one night when we were planning, the night that we were planning on doing it, all of us, it was five of us, we were all around you. I mean, we were waiting for you to come, and then we saw you, and what we saw that, man, you had all those people around you, we didn't do it. And the missionary is just looking at him and said, you know, what are you talking about? He said, yeah, you know, we saw you and you were surrounded. You had all these people around you, and we counted, man. You had 26 armed guards surrounding you. And so we said, you know what, we're not going to fool with you tonight because, you know, it's only five of us. You had 26 armed guards around you. And the missionary kind of looked at him and laughed, and he said, you got to be kidding because, you know, I don't travel with any armed guards. You know, I was all alone. I'm telling you, I was all alone at that night you saw me at that campsite. The young man, he continued to press the point, and he said, no, I wasn't the only one to see you. There were five friends with me, and we can all testify that you had 26 armed guards around you at that campsite when you were traveling back and forth from the villages. So, you know, he just kind of chalked it up to kind of crazy. He didn't know what maybe he was seeing things, but when he was back home on furlough, he was just sharing. This is where he was sharing this testimony while he was back home on furlough. And while he was in this church, he was from Michigan, sharing this testimony of this young man who said they had planned to jump him and they saw 26 armed guards around him and they did not attack him. You know what? Some person in the church, while he was sharing this story of this attack, popped up and said, listen, I want to let you know, that same day that was happening there, God placed you on my heart. I was out to go play golf. I was going out to play golf that day, and the Lord put you on my heart to pray for so much that I called a prayer meeting for men to meet me at church to pray for you on that mission field. And he asked, can all of you who showed up for that prayer meeting please stand? And you know that missionary, you know how many people he counted? He counted 26 men. They were standing in that church in Michigan who all testified that, yep, on that day, we prayed for you right here in Michigan while you were in Africa. And you say, what? Hold on. What I'm saying is this. This is the power of prayer. This man all the way in Africa did not know that there was a church praying for him in Michigan. And on a day when he was about to be ambushed and attacked by some people from there in that country, 26 men said, I'm going to pray for you. And you know what the attacker saw? They saw 26 armed guards surrounding this brother. And I'm here to tell you, the effectual, fervent prayer is powerful and it's effective. That's what we call breakthrough prayer. That's what prayer can do. If you want to experience a breakthrough in your life, I don't know if it's in your finances, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your family. I don't know if you got some kind of addiction. You said, Pastor Dwayne, I need a breakthrough. I'm at this wall. It's like I'm at this wall and I'm trying to get through it, but I can't get through it. If you want to experience breakthrough, prayer is a key to your breakthrough. And today we're going to look in Mark chapter 9. And Jesus explains to us and expresses to us how prayer is so critical to breakthrough in your life. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 14 through verse 29. I'm going to read these verses. It says, when they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them. And some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. He's talking about the disciples. And when the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe and they ran to greet him. What is this all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. If anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried. Lord, this is one of my favorite scriptures. The father instantly cried, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak, he said. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? Jesus replied, this kind can be cast out only by prayer. Some versions say only by prayer and fasting. Today, we're going to talk about the importance of breakthrough prayer. In this passage, there was a father who came to Jesus, and what was happening, it was the crowds all around. And the passage, it says, the crowds came from everywhere. They saw Jesus, and they were overwhelmed with awe while they ran to greet him. And there was a father who was desperate right now. And we talked about it on week one. If you want breakthrough, you got to be desperate. You got to be willing, like this woman that was immoral, that she was desperate to get to the side of Jesus. This father was desperate. There were crowds all around Jesus. But this dad, I know what it's like to have a son. And when you have a son that's got an issue that he's sick, that nothing seems to be helping. He said, I got to get to the one who can seem like he can do something. It was a desperate man there. And he came to the side of Jesus, hoping against hope that Jesus would be able to be the solution to his problem. And as he came there, Jesus is talking to him. And at the very end, that last verse, after Jesus has all of this interchange with him and the disciples, that verse 29 is the key verse. It says, Jesus replied, this kind can be cast out only by prayer. I'm here to tell you that there's some kind of bondage in your life. There are certain things, there are certain barriers in your life that are not going to be broken through unless you pray. There's certain things in your life. This kind can only be come out. This bondage, this addiction can only be broken by some prayer and fasting. And today we're going to talk about breakthrough prayer. And there's five things I want to give you about breakthrough prayer. And I'm going to be out of your way as we look at this passage. Number one, if you want to pray for breakthrough, number one, you got to pray purposefully. You got to pray purposefully. What do I mean? You got to be specific in your prayer. You got to be laser focused in your prayers. Look at verse 17. It says, one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. Man, I love the detail in the father's description. He doesn't just say, my son having seizures. He's telling Jesus specifically what happens to him when it happens. He said, when the spirit sees him, it throws him violently. He foams at the mouth. He grinds his teeth. He becomes rigid. What is this man? He said, when he's praying on purpose, he's bringing a specific request to the master. Sometimes I believe that the reason why we're not experiencing breakthrough in our prayer life is because we're too general. You know, it kind of reminds me of my children. It's so funny. And, you know, kids, it's wonderful to listen to them. But you know what? I can be like my kids sometimes. And so when we go to bed at night, we come around for family prayer. And prayer sometimes for my kids can sound like this. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for keeping us safe this day, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you be with my mama and my pop-pop and be with my auntie Nika, and it's real general. It's good, but it's general. Thank you for this day. And you know what? Tomorrow night's prayer might sound almost exact same way. But my children, they're general in their prayers. And sometimes I'll ask them, well, is there anything in specific you want to ask from God? And I know that you got some issues, son. I know that you may need help with your math. You know God is concerned about you getting a breakthrough in your math. You want to ask God about that? Maybe it's that God's saying, you know, you have not because you ask not. God is telling you, you've got to pray on purpose. We need to be specific and laser focused in our prayers. You know, it kind of reminds me of light. You know, light is a beautiful thing. There's lights shining on me right now. And when I think about the lights that shine, you know, you can have two kinds of light. You can have a light that kind of shines generally in diffuse light that kind of can light up a room. But that same light that can light up a room and make a room bright, if you channel that light and you focus a light that can light up a room can also cut through some stuff. Do you know we can use that same kind of light to perform surgery, to cut through tissue? It's called a laser. What is it? It's focus. It's laser focus. Once you take that same light and you pinpoint it and focus it on one object, guess what? It can cut through some stuff. And I'm here to tell you, if you begin to get focused in your prayer life, I believe you can experience some breakthrough. Today, you got to pray purposefully. Say, pray purposefully. If you want to experience breakthrough, you got to be like this father who prayed purposefully. But not only did he pray purposefully, if you want breakthrough, not only do you have to pray purposefully, but number two, you must pray persistently. What do you mean, Pastor Dwayne? I mean, you can't quit praying. You got to keep coming to him. This man came to Jesus, verse 14. So when the disciples returned, returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe. They ran to greet him. What is all the arguing about? Jesus said, verse 17. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him." You got to pray persistently. This man said there was a crowd surrounding Jesus, but he was persistent. He said, "I'm going to keep on going until I get to the one who can give me what I'm asking for." Are you persistent in your prayers? The Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17 says, "Never stop praying. Pray without ceasing." I can imagine this father. You know, I don't know the background story, all of it. It kind of reminds me of the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood, you know, she pressed through to get to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And it says that she had this issue, this hemorrhaging, this bleeding issue inside of her for 12 long years. I just could imagine what she was like. 12 years, and it said that she had spent everything she had trying to get well. I can imagine this father who had a son who was throwing himself down, and he saw him doing damage to himself, that he had tried so many things, and he had probably asked God. And today he saw Jesus who was healing people and doing all kind of miracles. And he said, "Finally, there's one who has the answer to my son's dilemma." So he said, "I'm not going to let any crowd stop me from getting to Jesus." I'm here today to tell you, don't let anyone stop you in your prayer life. You got to be persistent. Pray without ceasing. You know, persistent prayer reminds me of my children again. This week is my youngest son's birthday. My youngest son, his name is Andrew. One thing I love about Andrew, I love it, but you know what? It gets on my nerves sometimes too. And I laugh because I said, "Oh God, that's what you're telling me to do." Andrew will sit in my face and call my name. "Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can I have this?" And there, one time I looked at Andrew, I said, "Son, me not answering you does not mean I don't hear you." Right? I hear you. Were you going to stop asking me that question? And I'm here to tell you, God said, "I want you to learn a lesson from Andrew." Andrew said, "I'm not going to stop asking till I get what I came for." So I'm here to tell you what God is calling you to do. If you want a breakthrough, God said, keep on coming. Keep on coming. He says it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course. So if sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? My kids, they ask, Daddy, can I have this? Mommy, can I have this? You got to persistently continue, get on your face and ask God. Say, listen, I need a breakthrough. What is that area that you need breakthrough in that right now? What is the habit that you've been stuck with, that addiction, whatever it is in your life that you've been trying to stop on your own, your willpower? Listen, you cannot do it on your own. God said, I'm going to give you everything you need. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. But he said, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask with wrong motives. God telling you to be persistent in your prayer. Yes, you got to be purposeful, meaning laser focused. Be specific with God. Tell him. He already knows. Be specific with him and then come to him with persistence. That's what this father was. But not only was he purposeful and persistent, but also, number three, you must pray passionately. What do I mean? You got to come with him with some intensity and desperation. Verse 22 in our passage says, the father, he said, the spirit often throws him into the fire, into the water, trying to kill him. And then this, I love the father. Can you hear the intensity? Have mercy on us and help us, is what the father says. Have mercy on us and help us. I can hear the passion in his voice. He's trying to find somebody who can help him. When you go to God, you can't come laissez-faire. You can't come with casually. You got to come with a sense of desperation. You know, when I was growing up, my first job was I was a lifeguard. I got a job when I was like 14, 15 years old, and I used to work at the YMCA right here in the DMV in Silver Spring, Maryland. And man, I worked at the YMCA until I got out of college. Lifeguarding was good to me. I mean, when I got out of podiatric medical school, I lifeguarded all the way through school and graduate school, professional school. Lifeguard was a good job, easy job, great job. But you know what? It was easy sometimes, but every now and then, somebody is going to get in distress. And what I know about is when you're lifeguarding and somebody's in distress, very rarely do they cry out for help like, can you help me? Can you help me? If you are stuck in that deep end and you got in above your head, deeper than you were expected, and you're fatigued or you're tired, and it looks like, look, you're getting ready to go under that water and you can't breathe, the cry of somebody who is in desperate need of help is not like, help, but it's help. And I'm here to tell you, there's a level of passion, a level of intensity that somebody said, I need a breakthrough right now, because if I don't get a breakthrough, I'm going to drown. And I'm here to tell you right now where you are, you got to cry out to God with some passion. He said the effectual and fervent prayer, passionate prayer of a righteous man. Today you've got access and God is calling you right now where you are to come to him passionately. You got to let him know, God, I'm desperate for you. I'm crying out for you right now. I long for you right now. God, I have no other place to go. I'm at the end of my rope, God, and I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Father God, help me. Kind of reminds me like Peter, when Peter went out to walk on water and he got to looking at the circumstance and he cried out to Jesus. So today, you know what, where you are, maybe your breakthrough is around the corner and Jesus is waiting. God is just waiting to say, look, I'm waiting for you to cry out to me with some passion. You know, in my prayer life, sometimes I get convicted. I get up and go through my routine in my prayer. And God said, you know, you act like you don't need me. And sometimes in our lives, do you know, we kind of act like Jesus is an appendage. You know, like we can have, I can handle most of this on my own, God. I'm good on most of this. And that shows by how little we pray. But he said, look, you know, when you really, when your body gets hit, when you get sick and when things get ugly, I guess your prayer life changes. God said, why don't you come to me all the time like that? You want breakthrough today, God is telling you, you know what, you got to come pray on purpose. You got to pray with some persistence, but you got to pray with some passion. Today, God is calling you to come to his presence with passion. Be like this father said, Jesus, have mercy on us and help us. Nobody else can do it. We've tried everything else. God, I need you to help us. Today, if you want to experience breakthrough, pray to the master with passion. But not only do you have to pray with passion, but the fourth thing that you got to do, you got to pray admitting your perplexity. What do you mean? What do you mean? Pray admitting your perplexity. I'm here to tell you, sometimes when there's some area of my life that I need breakthrough in, I can imagine this father. Man, I don't know how old his son was, but after watching his son go through this for years or for however long it was, you know, you get a level of hopelessness that can set in. And you're watching me today where that area of breakthrough, your marriage might feel like it's hopeless. You know, your financial situation might feel like it's hopeless. You breaking this addiction, whatever, I don't know what kind of addiction or this bondage that you're in, the stronghold that has got you down, you might feel like you're hopeless. God, how am I ever going to get out of this? But so there's a level when you feel like that. There's a level of doubt. Like, you know, sometimes, I don't know about you. I'm praying for God. I know you can, but, man, it's a perplexing thing. Perplexity, to be perplexed, the word perplexed means to be filled with uncertainty. And today, right where you are, your situation that you need a breakthrough in might have you filled with uncertainty. But I'm here to tell you, when you come to pray to God, admit your perplexity. Admit to God, God, I'm uncertain. I love this man in Scripture. Can we look at verse 22? At the end of verse 20, he just says, have mercy on us and help us. But the last part of that verse says, if you can. He comes to Jesus, who he's seen do all these other miracles, and he's heard about him doing all these other miracles. And he says, I got a problem, and it seems big. And I'm here today to tell you, your problem seems so like it could be too big. And there's nothing too hard for God. He tells Jesus, come, can you help us if you can? It's kind of like he's hedging his bets. I think he can, but I'm not quite sure. But I'm here to tell you, do you know what? That Jesus can handle you being perplexed. He can handle your uncertainty. He's not intimidated by your uncertainty. He knows what's in us. He knows your humanity. He knows our frailties. And he even knows our doubts. And that's what he wants us to bring. Bring those doubts and even your uncertainties to him. Look at what he says at the end of verse 22. He says, if you can. And then Jesus, I love it. The God man, God in the flesh, looks at him and said, what do you mean? If I can. Don't you know who you're talking to? Jesus didn't flex on him and say, man, you don't even believe. Get out of here. What does he do? He said, Jesus said, look, anything is possible if a person believes. And this is what I love. This is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. The Father says, admitted in verse 24, the Father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I'm here to tell you what, if you, in your prayer life, you got to pray and admit to God your perplexity. Admit to God, God, I'm uncertain. I know you can do it. I've seen that you've done it before, God, but I believe it, but help me. There's still a little part of me that's unsure if you're going to do it for me. And today, Jesus is all right with that. He wants you to admit that, God, I believe you, but help my unbelief. That's the kind of what he wants us to come with him with transparency. And just come with a pure heart. Say, God, I need a breakthrough. And I'm admitting to you right now, God, that part of me doubts whether it's going to happen because I've been trying and I've asked before and I haven't seen it done. And I admit to you, God, that the part of me is uncertain whether you can do it. But Lord, I believe you can help my unbelief. You know, he's the one who gives the gift of faith. God wants you to pray, but he wants you to pray to him. And when you pray, admit to God, admit your perplexity. Admit, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. Why did you have to have this happen to me? He already knows it. He already knows that you have the question. The one thing I love about our God, I love about our Savior, is he's not intimidated by our questions. He's not intimidated by my doubts. And I praise God that my doubts and my questions don't disqualify me from receiving his deliverance. Aren't you glad about that? That my doubts don't disqualify me for his deliverance. That he said, listen, yes, Master, I admit, listen, I'm uncertain, but I believe you, but help my unbelief. Bring your perplexity to God. Be honest with him, because he knows what you're made of. So what do? Breakthrough prayer. If you want to have a breakthrough, it's going to require prayer. Like he said, told this man, this, he told the disciples, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. What kind of breakthrough prayer? You got to pray purposefully. You got to be intentional. You got to be laser focused and pray with some specificity. But you also have to pray persistently, meaning it's not a one and done deal. You got to keep on knocking and keep on asking. And he doesn't get tired. You keep being like my son Andrew. Daddy, 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 can I? You continue to pray, continue to ask, and then you got to pray passionately. You got to pray like you're desperate, like that man drowning in the pool, in the deep end of the pool. It says, help. Pray with some passion and with some desperation. But not only that, you got to bring your perplexity to God. You got to admit to God, I'm coming to you this way, but God, there's a part of me right over here that's still questioning. God's okay with that. Final thing, number five, after you've done that, what you got to do is you got to pray believing in supernatural possibility. Pray believing in supernatural possibility. Jesus said it right here. He said, if I can. What do you mean, if I can? And Jesus says in verse 23, the second part of 23, anything is possible if a person believes. Anything is possible if a person believes. Look, if you look at this same passage and you go in the book of Matthew, it's another account of this in Matthew chapter 17. The disciples, after Jesus said that anything is possible if a person believes, the disciples came to Jesus privately, and it says in Matthew 17, 19 through 20, they asked him, why couldn't we cast out the demon? You don't have enough faith, he told them. I tell you the truth, if you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Today, when you come to God, you must believe that he can do it. Believe that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or imagine. That is the God that you serve. The same God that parted the Red Sea. The same God that raised this young man who was possessed by demon. The same God who could raise Lazarus from the dead. The same God who could hang the stars in space and cause the sun to shine is the same God today. And you got to believe in the supernatural possibility that he can meet your needs. And you know what? You can go on the strength of his word. The Bible in 1 John, I love one of my favorite passages, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is what he says. Look, when you pray, this is breakthrough prayer. He said, this is the confidence we have in approaching God in prayer. This is the confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Man, you want to experience a breakthrough today? Number one, if I'm asking anything according to his will, guess what? His will is not his will that I have this addiction in my life. It is not his, it's his will that my marriage be successful. Yes, it is. It's his will that my wife and I get along. That's his will. And he's saying, if you ask anything according to my will, not only do I hear you, but you got what you're asking for. That's a breakthrough. You can come with that confidence, believing in supernatural possibilities. That's supernatural breakthrough prayer. He told his father today, anything is possible if a person believes. Today, you want to experience a breakthrough. He said, a double man to man is unstable in all his way. You got to believe. Listen, it's doubt is one thing. Being uncertain is one thing. I love this man's spirit. He wasn't like he was a skeptic. He wasn't saying, man, you can't do that. He was saying, I'm not sure. Jesus, it looks hard. But I know you can. I'm uncertain, but I know you can. He said, I can handle that kind of thing. I can handle those kind of doubts, those kind of uncertainties. Let me build your faith. Let me show you what kind of God I am. And what does he do? Let's look back, look at our passage and see what he does. As he told the father, anything is possible. What does he do? The father instantly cried out, I believe, but help my unbelief. And then verse 25. He told the crowd and the onlookers, he rebuked the evil spirit. He said, listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Verse 26, then the spirit screamed, threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Look, I'm here to tell you today, when you experience that breakthrough prayer, that breakthrough that Jesus is going to bring into your life, that God is going to bring into your life, it is not going to be easy. See, breakthrough prayer is not easy. And the break you get in that breakthrough is not easy. This young man, look, that spirit convulsed him one last time. It didn't want to let him go. And it looked like it destroyed him. But guess what? He said, once he calls it out, it never to return again. I'm here to tell you, breakthrough is on the horizon for you, but God is calling you into some serious kind of prayer. Jesus told him at the end, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. Whatever that is in your life that's got you bound up right now, it ain't going to happen just by a self-help group. It ain't going to happen by you talking to sister such and such and brother such and such on the phone. You know, you can read all kind of books. They may be helpful. But at some point, you have to declare your dependence on God. You got to cry out to him and say, God, nobody else can get me out of this but you. And you got to cry out to him with some purpose, with some specificity. Tell him what the issue is, where you need the breakthrough. Be specific with God. But not only be specific, especially when you know you're praying in God's will. You know this is what he called for you. You know he wants you to experience a breakthrough in this area of your life. His word has already determined it. You got to pray specifically with what that area is. And then you don't stop. You keep on knocking. You keep on praying. It's like a battering ram. You got to keep hitting it, keep hitting it, keep hitting it until that wall comes down. You pray with some passion and some desperation. Cry out to him like he's the only one who can do it because he is. But also let him know, admit to God, I'm perplexed, Lord. I don't know why it had to be me. And part of me sometimes would be bound so long it doesn't seem like I'm going to get out. Admit to God where you're uncertain. Just admit to him. Just say, God, but help my unbelief. And then finally, pray believing in the possibility of him doing the supernatural, him doing what nobody can do, only he can, by setting you free and you experiencing that breakthrough in your life. Today, are you ready to engage in some breakthrough prayer? You may say, Pastor Dwayne, I got an area in my life that I need breakthrough in, and I've been talking to people, but I haven't been talking to God as specifically as I should, or as persistently as I should, or as passionately, as desperately as I should. And today I want to say, God, forgive me. I want to begin to get engaged in breakthrough prayer. If you need that breakthrough prayer, you want to begin to start praying passionately, I want to pray for you today, number one. But the second person is, listen, I want to pray for the person who needs a breakthrough in your life and your relationship with God. You might be watching me today, and the one reason thing that you don't have that breakthrough is because you don't have in you what you need to give you the breakthrough. So you can only have the breakthrough if he's inside of you working. And if you've never had a personal relationship with him, guess what? You can't experience that breakthrough. And I want to invite you into a relationship with the God, the Lord of the breakthrough. And the only way you can have that is through having your sins forgiven. You got to admit to God, listen, God, I'm not perfect, that I messed up, that I've fallen short. All of us have. There's not a perfect one. Nobody is perfect. The only way you can have a personal relationship with this God of the breakthrough, this Lord of the breakthrough, is through his son, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ came to be the sacrifice to pay for your sins and mine. And you, all he asks you to do today is to admit to God that, God, I've blown it. I was born separated from you. I'm just not perfect. I admit that I'm not perfect, and that imperfection, the Bible calls it sin, has separated us from a perfect God. Admit that to him. Then believe that he sent his son Jesus Christ to be your substitute, to pay the price for your sins. Why, Pastor Dwayne, did that have to happen? Because he said without blood being shed, there could be no forgiveness of sins. That's what his word has established. And so he says, listen, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You got to admit to God that you're separated from him by your sin, your imperfection, but you must believe that Jesus is the solution for your sin. You must believe that he lived, that he died, that he was buried, and he rose again. And then, see, you must confess him as Lord of your life. Invite him to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, and make you who he wants you to be. then you can have, you'll have a personal relationship with the God of the breakthrough. The Spirit of the Lord of the breakthrough will come and dwell in your life. And now you can talk to him and he gives you whatever you need to experience that breakthrough in that area of your life. I don't care what it is. If you want that relationship today, I want to pray with you. I'm going to say a simple prayer, ABC. Can you pray with me? Say, dear God, today, I admit that I'm separated from you by my sin. And I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross just for me, to pay for my sin. I believe that he was buried and that he rose again. Today, I confess you as Lord of my life. I invite you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations. I want to welcome you into the family of God. And I want to help you. We want to help you encounter life. We want to help you grow and experience the fullness that he has for you. So if you would do me a favor, text me. I want you to text us here at Encounter Life to that same number, 301-804-2520. And just text the message. In the message, text the word next, N-E-X-T. Pastor Duane, what do I do next? I ask Jesus to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. What do I do next? Text the word next to 301-804-2520 so we can get some information to you to help you grow. Everyone else, I want to just pray for those of you who say, look, I've accepted Christ, but I need a breakthrough. Can I pray for you and pray that you begin to go into his presence? Listen, he told you you can go boldly to his throne so you can experience breakthrough in your prayer life. Dear God, thank you for access. We thank you, Lord, that you bid us to come to you. And I thank you, Lord God, that this kind, that you are the God who is able, Lord God, to give us breakthrough. And I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters and myself, that, Lord, we will be purposeful in our prayer, that we be intentional, not general and laissez-faire in our prayer life. Lord God, help us to approach you with persistence, believing that, Lord God, you will answer our prayer and to come passionately to you, expecting you to do what, Lord God, believing what is possible, that the supernatural is possible through our powerful and mighty God. God, we thank you today that you're able to handle our perplexity. You're able to handle, Lord God, where we're unsure, Lord God, where we're uncertain. Lord, you're not intimidated by our doubts, Lord. And I thank you that our doubts don't disqualify us from experiencing your deliverance. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for being patient with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, thank you. Thank you today for joining us at Encounter Life. We're so glad you're here. I pray that you encounter God's presence, discover your purpose, and experience his power. I hope you can join us this upcoming Friday, right here at Encounter Life. Come out. We're just going to worship. Wait, man, you can sit by your car and listen to the worship and just enjoy. If you want to go put little s'mores in the fire pit, you can do that. We're going to have some refreshments set on the side. We will social distance. We're going to keep you safe. Bring your mask. But we just want to lift up the name of Jesus outdoors this Friday. So look, join us outside for a night of worship. We look forward to seeing you there if you can make it. God bless you. Have a great day.
We really hope that you were blessed by today's message and that you are walking away with something that you can apply to your life to strengthen your walk with the Lord. We also would love to give you an opportunity to support the ministry here at Encounter Life Church. And there's a couple of different ways that you can do so. You can give traditionally by mail by sending your support to 2200 Colbert Drive, Temple Hills, Maryland, 20748. Again, it's 2200 Colbert Drive, Temple Hills, Maryland, 20748. You can also give through text by simply texting the word GIVE to 301-804-2520. Again, text the word GIVE to 301-804-2520. You can also give through the website as well. Just go to encounterchurch.net and click the Give tab. Again, encounterchurch.net. You're going to see a Give tab. You can click that and you can give that way. And finally, you can give through Cash App. Just use the $EncounterLife and you can give through Cash App. Again, that's the $EncounterLife and you can give through Cash App as well. Thank you all so much for spending time with us. We really hope that you enjoyed your time. Again, that you learned, and we're looking forward to seeing you again next week. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.